It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Everybody to Sports Daily. We are with you live on KFH. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here. We've got you till 11 o'clock. Glad to be here with you. Max Power in for Jad Chambers. He's manning that IHOP hotline, which is open for you the first part of this hour, and it's available at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays with the all-new IHOP House faves. All your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. We have two guests coming up today. PJ Glasser, our betting insider, joins us at the bottom of this hour to take us through the weekend, see if he can polish up this turd of a Thursday night football game for us and give us a reason to bet it and watch it. We'll also have Tim Fitzgerald in top of next hour to get us ready for K-State. And, you know, what we've been describing is a very dangerous game this weekend on the road at West Virginia. So we'll get a look at both of those things with our guest today. You can leave us your comments as well on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can ask questions to our guests that way. Always available to get those to you and glad to do it. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Happy Thursday. Good to see you today. Obviously not on the show yesterday. I trust that you and Savage had a good Hawaiian shirt Wednesday.
We did.
What I'm curious to know, though, is obviously we've got our buddy Max Power in this week for Jad Chambers. Was Max wearing a Hawaiian shirt? Was he partaking in the festivities on Wednesdays?
No, he was not,
okay.
According to Mr. Savage. But to be fair, we didn't really give him a heads up.
Okay. He's wearing tie-dye today. So, I mean, that's a whole other subgenre of clothing.
That's another lane, man, that I'm not in. You know, I I've donned plenty of hemp necklaces back in my day, but I've never been team tie-dye. I've never been team long hair. I'm no hippie.
Do you ever play hacky sack? Are you a hacky sack guy?
Yeah, I was fine. I mean, it was around, and I guess I pretended like it was cool when it very obviously wasn't. But yeah, that's like right in my, that's in our generation.
100%.
You know, baggy, you know, surfboard shorts and you know, puka shell necklace, all that stuff like that. That was all in the wheel. You know, it's funny. And I know you've been trying to avoid this. We had a revelation and somebody asked us about it yesterday. Last week, I asked the gang and I'd be curious. And you probably do know now that there is apparently a symbol that shows up on shirts. And it's been showing up on one of my Hawaiian shirts that I've been wearing for a good 3 years, unknown to myself, that I have been putting the vibe out there of the upside down pineapple. Mm. Now, were you aware of what that particular symbolism is for before I hinted at the discussion Paul and I had last week?
I've heard rumblings. I've heard rumors. I've never been in a situation to verify that for myself.
Yeah.
I've heard those rumors. I would love it if you enlighten me because clearly you know.
Yeah,
you know
it, what that means. It means you're down to swing is what it means, apparently. I did not know that. And again, I've been wearing that shirt for a long time. And I don't know, you know, there's a lot of things that come into play as I recall the history of that particular Hawaiian shirt. Mm. A, when I, like, you know, it's one of my two main Hawaiians. And in the summertime, you know, this, like, most days I'm in a Hawaiian, right? Like I put, that's not just a Wednesday on this show thing. And I think back, okay, well, I've been wearing this forever. So how many people do know that symbolism? How many people did it think, oh, they're really nice. Yeah. When there may be ulterior motives.
That's even the biggest question. I mean, you've asked a bunch of questions already.
My sister-in-law got me that shirt, just FYI.
The most important question is, are you?
No, I'm not. No way. I'm like Jerry on that Seinfeld episode. Mm. Like, I can't. I don't want to be that guy. I can't be that guy. Like, you know, that's a great episode of Seinfeld, by the way. No, absolutely not. And
it's okay this is a judgment-free zone. We don't pass judgment here.
I was just going to say, I have known people who are active in that world and in that game. And it is wild, man. Like, it is wild to have conversations with them about that game. But no, that's not me.
I'm just telling you, you've got an ally in me. This is a safe space. If you ever need to talk about anything about that, it's fine.
I'm not that cool.
Like, you can be yourself. It's okay. Own it. Be proud of it.
Yeah, I own everything. That ain't it for me. Okay. But I've been throwing that vibe out there. And so there was, man, not to go down this rabbit hole. I have known people in that lane. They're great people, right? Like, it's not weird or whatever. But the conversations can get real weird when you ask them stories. But there was, I was probably, I don't know, 22, 23 years old, maybe even a little older, in the early 20s. And I had one of my best friends was getting married, and it was an out-of-town wedding. It was in San Diego, and we were there an extra day, and I didn't know anybody. And another one of our buddies that was there, like, had a random, knew somebody from there. And so that night we went out bar hopping with them. Well, it was like a pub crawl. And it was, you wore a wig. It was like, that was the shtick. You had to wear a wig to go on this pub crawl in downtown San Diego. And I'll tell you that, like, these are some of the prettiest people I've ever been around. And they're all wildly successful. These are, like, you know, NASA scientists and doctors. And I'm like, God, I am out of my league here. Well, one of them thought very funny. It would be very funny and early in the night to convince me that they were all swingers, and they were not. But they like laid that out there. And so the whole night, I'm just like a little uncomfortable. I'm like, these people are nice, but like, what do I do? Like, what do I do if they ever? And then eventually, at the end of the night, after we'd all had a lot to drink, they were all laughing, and they got me. They definitely weren't, but they fooled me. And then later in life, I actually did meet. I have known some people that are in that game, and they're great people, but yeah, it's not for me. No, so I'm not that cool.
I think here's the only thing that is, I don't even want to say concerning, because, you know, you are who you are, and be proud of it and own it, and that's okay. You've had far more interactions with either swingers or potential swingers than I've had zero.
You've never been around open.
So, like, to me, the conclusion I draw is, where there's smoke, there's fire. And
maybe because I'm wearing that shirt.
Because you're wearing the shirt, you're owning it, and you've had multiple interactions.
To be fair,
I never have.
None of those interactions or relationships, those were all pre-shirt. Like, those were all just, you know, associations or whatever. Listen, do your thing, man. But I guess I've been throwing that out there. Now I have a decision to make, because that's one of my favorite Hawaiians. Do I just keep rolling with it? Probably. I mean, probably I will. But now I'll know, like, if I get that weird look, like, I guess it's big on the cruise line. Like, that's a big thing in the cruise world, I've read, because as soon as somebody tells me, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you got to be kidding me. And I look it up, and it's like the first thing when you search it.
You've clearly done your research. America. You may be the preeminent scholar in swinging in the Wichita area.
Yeah, that's
hey, for a good time.
I know about that symbol.
For a good time, hit you up. I'd be shocked if your phone number wasn't on some bathroom stalls.
Probably so, for whatever reason. All right. Anywho, we got fun stuff coming up on the show today. I want to talk about. I want to get back into the Chiefs and the trades. We have, you know, the trades happened a few days ago. There have been some fallout that creates rumblings of, like, what do the Chiefs do or not do? Should they, will they, I think, are two very different questions. So I do want to get into that a little bit as we make our way through here, because the competition has made themselves better. and it gets into the thought of like, okay, yeah, the Chiefs are 5-0. Do they really need to do anything, or is that a deceptive 5-0? So I want to get into that, and we will in our next segment before we bring in PJ Glasser. So that's definitely on the brain today. There's, of course, baseball on the brain, championship baseball. What if we get Dodgers, Yankees? You know, like I know people like to talk about ratings with baseball, and I think that's a little bit foolish sometimes because baseball is a very much like localized. If your team's in, you're all in. If you're not, you might be. Yankees, Dodgers would probably set records. What does that even mean? I don't even think that really matters too much, but it would be something if that ended up being the World Series. Speaking of those trades for wide receivers, Davante Adams' hamstring got better real quick.
It sure did.
Just pretty fun, which is pretty funny. There's a lot of stuff out there.
He was clearly on the Aaron Rodgers rehab plan. Maybe he went and had some darkness retreats for a couple of days.
Yep. That sounds about right. Austin asks us, how in the world are Chiefs underdogs in this game? I would ask you, Austin, on the road, should they not be? I would be surprised if they were favorites on the road against San Francisco. I would be. We'll ask PJ Glasser about that, see if he's got an angle on that and likes it. It's a really interesting game, and we haven't really previewed it, and we'll do some of that in the second hour. I would tell you that I can see the Chiefs winning this game for sure. I could also see the 49ers winning this game big, but probably not coming out of a bye week for the Chiefs. But they're underdogs because they're underdogs. They're underdogs because they're on the road and San Francisco's gotten a little bit healthier. And that's the line, right? It is right where I thought it would be. But we'll ask PJ Glasser about that later in this hour. It's a good question.
By the way, do you remember the way that Patrick Mahomes typically plays when he's an underdog? I mean, he's 10-3.
Yeah. No, I'm not, in 13 starts as an underdog. I would not bet, and that's what Austin points out right after. I would not bet it, but I could see, just based on about a billion factors, revenge, the injuries to the Chiefs. The problem for the Niners is they're coming off of a bye, right? And they really looked good on offense in the last game that they played. They could make Brock Purdy's day hell. They could. Absolutely could. So I don't really know how to attack that game yet. I haven't made up my mind, but PJ Glasser's take on it.
We're not even talking about Patrick Mahomes covering the spread as an underdog, where he's, I think, like 11-1-1 or something. We're talking about straight up like winning a game when they're the underdog. He's 10-3, which is incredible.
Yep. And history matters in betting, and we know that. The Niners are desperate, certainly more desperate than the Chiefs are. We'll get into all of it. When we come back, though, I want to get into this wide receiver market. We're two-ish weeks away from the trade deadline, and, you know, it's more about, I think, preventative measures for the Chiefs, but we'll dig in a little further on that. It is sort of the topic of the hour with the Chiefs, and you know they're making calls, but, you know, will they pull the trigger? 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. I want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH. We'll come back. More Sports Daily. Chiefs in the wide receiver position. Will they do something? Should they do something? How big will or should they swing? We'll discuss next on Sports Daily.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back into Sports Daily. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. 36 holes of golf, all the fun you could have. Restaurant, bar, kids activities, the kids programs off the charts. A lot of tennis out there at Crestview. Tommy and I, both members, our families love it. We think you will too. Lots of different membership packages. Give them a call. Go check out the facilities. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jake Ballbrock, Tommy Caster, Max Power producing. He's got the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. The Chiefs have not done anything yet at the trade deadline. I think that's unfair to say they have not done anything because they have brought back in Juju Smith-Schuster. They did things before. We saw Juju have his best game since he's been a Chief in his last game with the Chiefs. And I wonder if that's enough, Tommy. And I think two questions come into play. Is it enough? It might be right now, but what if he gets hurt? You know, I think that has to be a factor that we think about too. And I think it's one where if you ask me if I think the Chiefs should trade for a wide receiver, I would tell you I think that they should. I still don't know if I think that they will. Those are two different questions for me with two different answers. I don't know. But I do think they should, because if they lose Juju now, they'd be in a real tight spot.
I don't think they will. And the longer that this kind of drags on, I really don't think that they will. If they were going to, in my opinion, it would have happened as soon as the news broke last week that Rashee Rice was done for the entire year, because I know there was a sliver of hope that maybe he wouldn't be, but obviously that was extinguished when he had surgery last week. They probably would have pounced on something to try to get ahead of the market at that point, and they didn't do that. I read a really, really interesting article that was put out after Amari Cooper was traded and, you know, to the Jets to the Bills, and Devontae Adams was traded to the Jets. This article in the New York Times broke down the success rate of wide receivers that have been traded in season over the last 10 years. It's rarely a success story. In fact, there's one receiver that is the outlier, and that's Amari Cooper when he was traded to Dallas in 2018. That's it.
And it'll work for Devontae Adams too.
Yeah, but overall, by and large, especially when teams are giving up draft picks that are in the first three rounds, not only does it not usually work long-term, because more often than not, those players are considered rentals. They might be on expiring deals, but it usually doesn't make a big impact that season when they bring them in. It usually doesn't.
How often does it even happen?
It happens a lot. In fact, according to this article from the New York Times, there have been, let me find this here, there have been 29 in-season acquisitions when picks in the first three rounds were traded. That's over the last 10 years. So only 29.
Is that wide receiver?
No. Overall, when there have been picks in the first three rounds traded, there have been 29 in-season acquisitions over the last 10 years. So about three per year. 10 of those have been wide receivers. No other position had more than six players acquired at those prices. So it's disproportionate that wide receivers are the ones being traded for in season when you've got a top three pick that's being dealt in return for that receiver. So it happens a lot comparative to other positions in season when teams are trying to acquire players.
I look at, there's so many angles here. A, the market is now set through the Cooper and Devontae Adams trades. And I think it's actually more fortuitous to the Chiefs that it has been set. I don't know that there's anybody out there that will move now that will be as expensive as those two players. And that includes the guy CBS Sports this morning targets and says the Chiefs should trade for, who I like, and I think you like, Diontae Johnson as a player and a perfect fit. He would not cost you the same, A, because he's on an expiring contract. Well, that's pretty much the reason, is he's on an expiring contract. So he's not going to cost you what those guys cost you. And he's 28 years old. So, you know, now you're looking at, would you give up a fourth, maybe a third for a guy as a rental there? I think you look at a player like him a couple of different angles. Could you get him on could you re-sign him to a two-year deal if he came in? Because I think what the problem the Chiefs have is the Rashee Rice injury isn't just this year. It's we know that he's going to miss games next year too. And so then you have to look at it that way. Are they going to draft another first round wide receiver? Like what, you know, what do they do next year when Rice is suspended for what you got to assume is at least half the season? I think that plays into it. The other thing for this year is, and I really do think if you could promise me that they would have the group they have right now and let it ride all the way through without injury, I would tell you, I don't think they need to make a move. The problem is, I think that's highly unlikely. It's week six, or is it week seven? Whatever it is. It's week seven, right? The Chiefs have played five games, and they're already down three of their top four offensive weapons. I think it's unlikely that they make it through the rest of the way without another one of these pass catchers getting hurt.
Hey, you're right, and I don't disagree with you in that regard. I think it's unlikely that Brett Veach jumps because of a hypothetical. That's not his MO.
It's not, but it's not just a hypothetical. It's a chess move because you've got A, the factor of are we good enough now? B, the factor of what do we do when Rice is gone next year for his suspension?
But it is a hypothetical.
C,
it is
the injury. Well, the first two are not a hypothetical. The first two we don't have enough depth now, and do we need to still be better at that position?
The hypothetical at the very start of this segment, you know, that you said of can Juju Smith-Schuster get through the season without being injured, that's a hypothetical. And so I don't think that you go and you give up draft capital or whatever to acquire somebody based on a hypothetical. I just don't.
I don't think depth is a hypothetical. Like they still need depth.
Like Veach is going to tell you, and I'm not telling you that this is the right or wrong approach. I'm just telling you the way that it probably is. Veach is going to say we can get depth without giving anything up. Like we've got practice squad. We can go sign somebody, put them on the practice squad, and get depth that way. Is that ideal? Probably not. Can those guys be impact players? Probably not. I think it's really important to temper expectations and to temper excitement potentially on bringing in, you know, a high profile or, you know, a flashy type trade. I just don't think that that's really what Brett Veach will do. And going back to this,
I don't think it has to be flashy, by the way.
I mean, in my opinion, if a trade happens, get ready for DeMarcus Robinson to come back to Kansas City.
That's great.
Like,
I would love that, by the way.
But like, you know, that's he knows the system and that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to say. I texted this to you the other day, kind of tongue in cheek.
Absolutely not.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling is on the market now.
No,
he was released when Cooper went to the Bills. I'm just telling you the way that it is. I don't think it's the right move either, but that's the sort of thing that I think that everybody ought to at least like understand is probably the more likely, knowing Brett Veach and even Andy Reid, than them going out and trading for a Deontay Johnson or somebody like that.
If MVS wasn't on the contract he was on, he probably would have been cut. He was not good at all and helps them in no way right now. Like him coming in doesn't help you at all. He can't fill in for Juju Smith-Schuster if he gets hurt.
Like,
that's not what he does.
But here's the other thing. And you talked about how a couple of those situations that you mentioned are not hypotheticals. Here's another non-hypothetical for you that has been going on for a long time, and the Chiefs have been resistant to move on it. Sky Moore is terrible.
Yeah.
Sky Moore is awful. You could have made a trade even before Hollywood Brown went down or, you know, Rashee Rice went down or anybody to get Sky Moore off your roster and to bring in somebody else. Like, that could have happened. The Chiefs have been resistant to that. They didn't do that. So I just don't think that they're going to do anything that would get anybody, like, really excited about a new acquisition.
Yeah, I see DeMarcus Robinson would get me excited and I think be really smart. Deontay Johnson, if they can get him on a two-year deal, is a stud and a perfect fit. That's why I keep bringing him up. I just don't know if you can't get next year out of him, then it doesn't make as much, unless you can get him for like a fourth round pick. And then at that point, great. Here's another name that hasn't been mentioned that I think is really interesting. He plays for the same team. Guy like Adam Thielen. And I know he's got a bum hamstring right now, but you want to talk about somebody who probably can pick things up quickly, but could be a possession guy if something happens.
He's a volume guy. He's a volume guy.
And that's what they need their volume guy.
Yeah.
They need their volume guy because that's the role Juju is filling for Rashi Rice. That's the position of need to me. That's where they need to target. Who can be a volume guy? Of all the players that are out there potentially, who could come in and be a volume guy if you had to have it?
Right.
And I think that's why it's probably unlikely that we see some massive splash trade, because those are typically guys that aren't available.
Right.
Right. Davante Adams has been a volume guy over his career. The Chiefs weren't going to get Davante Adams.
Yeah.
So what volume guys might be available? And here's the other reality. It may take 2 weeks for teams to realize they're out of it before those players even become available.
Yeah. I'm going to run through really quickly this list of the 10 receivers over the last 10 seasons that have been traded for picks in the first three rounds in season. And outside of Amari Cooper twice and Davante Adams this year, there are some really underwhelming names on this list. Chase Claypool to the Bears, Mohamed Sanu to the Patriots, Calvin Ridley to the Jags, Kadarius Toney to the Chiefs, Emmanuel Sanders to the 49ers, Golden Tate to the Eagles, and Kelvin Benjamin to the Panthers. That's not a long track record of success outside of the outlier, which is Amari Cooper. And Davante Adams should be fine, but we don't know that yet.
Yeah, he'll be fine. It's interesting that because you keep saying Brett Veach doesn't have any history of this. He does. He did it for Kadarius Toney.
I don't think he'll do it again.
No, I don't think he'll do that kind of move. That was a high risk move, and I don't think they need to make a high risk move by any means.
Like, did any of those names get you excited? Like, I'm sure at the time, the teams that they were going to, a couple of them, I think Claypool probably was one that you're kind of like, okay, like he showed some promise with the Steelers before he was traded, and Calvin Ridley maybe, you know, a little bit. Sanders
Ridley probably would be the one of all of those players where at the time you're like, yeah, okay, that one's going to be great. And he did have a good year, and then he had all those weird things happen. But yeah, no, again, none of those are to the capacity outside of Cooper, what Adams and Cooper again will be. Like, those are premier wide receivers, and I think they're both going to be fine. Cooper will acclimate probably a little more slowly. Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers can go play street ball. That would be like reuniting Travis Kelce to Patrick Mahomes. Like, it doesn't matter what else happens on offense. Like, those dudes are just going to go out there and play street ball. It's more to me about, and this takes us into, and we'll get PJ Glasser's take on this spread. Let's pause there, because that's what it takes into the 5-0 record for the Chiefs. How sustainable and how real is it? If we're being honest with the injuries, I think that's probably why we have some. People wondering about this line. And we are glad to be joined right now by our betting insider, PJ Glasser, on the line, the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports betting insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you find your podcast. PJ, welcome in. We've got Thursday Night Football tonight, but we've got a lot of other things to talk about. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good, guys. Great to see you. Yeah, a lot going on this weekend. Monster college slate, monster NFL slate, too. So it's going to be a great weekend of football.
We do have to talk about, just because, we're fishing for a reason to go into any game with the Saints and the Broncos. Now a game that it looks like Chris Olave is not going to play. It looks like Patrick Surtain is out. Like, what on earth can we do with this one? Is there anything you love in this game?
Not really, especially now that the line's at 3. Like, I was leaning towards Denver, but you can't bet the Broncos at -3. You can't bet Bo Nix as a road favorite at this number. And the Saints injury report is like a CVS receipt, guys. It is so long. They got like 17 guys on the injury report. And look, Spencer Rattler's making his second career start on a short week, going up against one of the best defenses in the NFL, who are going to be without their best player in Patrick Surtain, the corner. So it's just a tough game, right? You got the revenge a little bit as well with Sean Payton going up against his former team in the Saints. So maybe want to stick it to them a little bit as well. I kind of like the Saints in a teaser. You know, I think we have a lot of great options this week for teasers in the NFL. Obviously, with all of the favorites that won last week, you think the underdogs, especially the home dogs, are going to be much better this week. I think we get some much closer results as well. So with the low total like this, You know, two quarterbacks that you don't feel like really are going to light up the scoreboard very much. I think Saints plus nine in a teaser, parlaying that with some other game on the board, probably the way I would go.
Let's move away from that game because I literally don't care at all about the Broncos and the Saints. Let's talk about college football. PJ, you mentioned a monster slate of games this weekend, and that's the truth. We'll start with the number one team in the country, Texas, at home against Georgia. The Longhorns, they solidified why they are the best team in the country with their performance in the Red River rivalry against Oklahoma last week, putting it on the Sooners. And honestly, PJ, I think for me, coming away from that game, although Texas scored a lot of points, for me it was more impressive what they did defensively. It's going to be a little bit of a different challenge taking on Kirby Smart's Bulldogs this weekend, although the game is at home for Texas. What do you like in this game? For me, I kind of think the under is maybe where I'm going to play it just because I've been so impressed with the way Texas has played defense.
Guys, it's a tough game to handicap just because we really don't know how good Texas is, right? Like, obviously, the eye test, what they've been doing to their opponents has been really impressive. But, you know, their best two wins are against Michigan and Oklahoma, and neither of those teams can throw the ball. You know, I mean, Michigan, the two quarterbacks that they had playing in that game, Davis Warren and Alex Orji, are benched. Now it's Seth Tuttle that's starting for Michigan this week against Illinois. And then Oklahoma, their top five receivers were out on Saturday. Their offensive line's banged up. Their quarterback was making his second career start. So Texas, the defense is very good. They might have the best offensive line in college football. They got skill position weapons. Ewers is back. Sark's maybe the best play caller in the sport. So there's a lot of reason why people like Texas in this game. Guys, it's just like, how do you not take Georgia as underdogs, right? Not only are we getting them as underdogs, we're getting them at 4.5, right? A team that's battle-tested. They played Clemson. They played Bama. They played Kentucky. First time in 50 games that Georgia has been an underdog. I know we're going to talk about Chiefs-Niners here in a little bit. You guys know how great Mahomes is as an underdog. Saban historically is great as an underdog. When you get teams and players that aren't used to playing the underdog card and can lean on that a little bit, you normally get a really good performance out of them. So I know this Georgia team isn't as good as they've been in years past, but those teams were so good that I think we're underestimating that this Georgia team is still good and still good enough to win this game in Austin. So huge game for Georgia too, guys, right? If they lose, they got two losses and they still have to play Tennessee and Ole Miss this season. Might be in danger of missing the college football playoff. So this is one of those games I feel really confident in the fact that I know Georgia's going to play well. I know Kirby's going to have his guys ready. I would expect Texas to look good too, but we're getting 4.5 points with Georgia. I'll take the Bulldogs.
We've got Kansas back in action. We've got Kansas State. Definitely want to hit on those two. Let's start with the Jayhawks because they play first. 5.5 point favorites at home. It seems, you know, for people that have watched Kansas this year, it just seems crazy to pick them to win a game at all the way they blow the end. Houston's the most winnable game they have left on the schedule. Are you comfortable with a team who has struggled so mightily at the end of a game to put a team away, laying that kind of number, even if it is against Houston?
Yeah, I would actually lay it with Kansas this week, guys. I think Houston's the only team in college football this year that is perfect to the under. So they really struggle to score. Their defense has been pretty solid this season. But, Jacob, you mentioned it. Like, Kansas has been in a lot of close games. They just haven't found ways to win them. But I don't think they're going to be in a close game this week against Houston. I think this is going to be like a two-score, double-digit kind of win for the Jayhawks. So this is a get-right game for them this week. Like you said, if they can't take care of Houston, it's going to be tough for them down the stretch. So I think anything under 7 is a good bet with the Jayhawks this week. Again, Houston's been really good to the under this season, so maybe just keep betting the under. It feels like a 24-10 kind of game for me. So I like Kansas minus 5.5.
A week ago, PJ, the Wildcats went to Boulder to take on Coach Prime and the Buffaloes. The line was incredible. I mean, I think it ended at 3.5, somewhere around there. Colorado covered it. The Wildcats win by 3. Of course, Kansas State going the other direction this weekend to Morgantown to take on West Virginia. This Mountaineers team is interesting because they've been lurking around, and there's been a lot of pressure on Neil Brown and the program to have a really strong season. They've been up and down. There's an opportunity here, and I said it earlier this week, that if Kansas State isn't careful, it could be a trappy type game because they had to get up so high for Colorado last weekend. What do you like in this matchup in Morgantown this weekend?
Yeah, no doubt. Guys, K-State's road schedule has been brutal, right? I mean, they had that road game against BYU and Provo. Then they had the game in Boulder last week. Now they got to go back and play another night game against West Virginia as well. Same spread as last week with Iowa State and West Virginia. So basically what the sports books are telling you are that Iowa State and Kansas State are comparable teams. I think at this point in time, I like Iowa State a little bit better, and I like their matchup a little bit better against West Virginia, because the way you attack West Virginia is their secondary. Their run defense is pretty stout, but their secondary is gettable, and Iowa State was able to make some explosive plays. We know if there's an area that Avery Johnson and K-State struggles with, it's throwing the ball, especially down the field. Now, credit to him, he did make that great pass to win the game for Kansas State late against Colorado. But consistently, can he do that again this week? West Virginia gets another ranked team in their place at night. You're getting a plus three with them. I think West Virginia is the play in this game. It's just, it's brutal for Kansas State to get two tough games like this back to back on the road and at night. You normally don't see that a lot in college football. So I'll go with West Virginia. I'll run it back with them this week at the plus three. I like betting against them with teams that can really throw the ball. And I just don't trust Kansas State's passing attack enough to do that.
All right. Before we switch over to the NFL, PJ, what are some of your favorite college bets?
Yeah, so two other plays that I really like this week, guys. I love Arkansas. I'd take them outright against LSU. You don't even need the points in that game. Just a terrible spot for LSU. Coming off an emotional win against Ole Miss, crowd storms the field, overtime win. Their next two games after the Hogs, they're at A&M and home against Alabama. So this is the stretch in their schedule where they got big game after big game. Arkansas, meanwhile, is coming off a bye. They're fresh. Remember, they beat Tennessee at home a couple weeks ago, and Arkansas very easily could be undefeated. They blew a game against Oklahoma State earlier in the year. They were right there with Texas A&M. So Sam Pittman's done a great job with Arkansas. I really don't think these teams are very like the talent gap is all that wide. Like, Arkansas is going to hang with LSU. Their defense has been good. So I like Arkansas to win outright. And then ugly dog I like this week, guys, give me Maryland plus 7.5 against USC. Last week we were talking about the Big Ten and how these teams that have to travel through two or more time zones has been really difficult for them to endure. Well, USC now has to go from LA to College Park off that tough loss to Penn State where they had a 2-score lead, blow it in overtime, and they're going up against Maryland, who lost by 20 at home to Northwestern last week. Guys, you know I live in the area. A lot of people want Maryland's head coach Mike Locksley fired. It feels like this is the game that he absolutely has to win. Like, his only chance to keep his job is to beat a marquee school like USC. So the Terps are playing for their season. They're playing for their coach. USC reeling off a home loss, off a tough home loss to Penn State, flying across the country. I like the Terps plus 7.5.
PJ, let's get into the game of the week in the NFL, the Chiefs and the Niners. It's a Super Bowl rematch, Kansas City heading to Santa Clara for this matchup on Sunday afternoon. I'm just going to pose the question that our listener Austin had at the very beginning of the show. How in the world are the Chiefs still underdogs in this game?
It's a good question, Austin, because I really don't understand, right? I like the Chiefs in this game, guys. I really do. Two main reasons. It's really all about trends. One, Andy Reid in his career with the Chiefs and the Eagles off of a bye straight up is 21-3. Now he's 11-9 against the spread, but again, this line's 1.5. So really, you like the Chiefs to win the game if you're picking the Chiefs. 21-3 straight up, guys, off of a bye. Mahomes is 11-1-1 against the spread. He's 10-3 straight up as an underdog as well. So you're getting Mahomes as a dog. You're getting Andy Reid off a bye. I know the Niners want revenge from the Super Bowl, but they're still going to be without McCaffrey. They've been up and down this season. I just like the Chiefs. As you guys know, the Chiefs have not played their best football by any means yet this season, and they continue to win games. So off of a bye, you have some time to kind of work around this Rashee Rice injury a little bit, figure out your offense. I think the Chiefs are motivated to like put a good performance together, knowing that they're going up against one of the best teams in the NFL in San Francisco. So I like the Chiefs. I like the under in the game, too, at 47. Anytime we get a total over like 45 in a Chiefs game, I'm probably going to bet the under. As you guys know, Kansas City hasn't allowed more than 28 points in a game since the Super Bowl against the Eagles back in 2022. We talk so much about Mahomes and Andy Reid, but what Spags has done with that defense over the last couple of years, nobody just lights them up. So it's going to be like a 24-20 kind of game. Chiefs just find ways to win those kind of games. I'll take Kansas City.
Yeah, I like both of those as well. For suckers like me, PJ, who need to fill out the parlay and take advantage of all the boosters, who else do I need to sneak in there?
Like the Steelers this week, guys, against the Jets. For me, it's just kind of the perception around these two teams right now, right? Like the Jets obviously make the trade for Devontae Adams. So now everybody's kind of excited about the Jets making the move we all thought they would make, kind of save their season. Steelers, meanwhile, it looks like they're going to Russell Wilson when they should be sticking to Justin Fields. So nobody wants to bet the Steelers right now with Russ. People are excited to bet the Jets because of Devontae Adams, but the Jets just keep finding ways to lose these close games. And we're also getting Mike Tomlin as a home underdog, guys. He's 19-6-3 ATS as a home dog. As a Ravens fan, I can tell you when the Steelers are home dogs, they're really tough to beat. That's a tough place to play at night. They already lost to Dallas on Sunday night this year in a home primetime spot. I don't know if they're going to lose again. So I like the Steelers this week against the Jets. And then I like Minnesota, guys, against the Lions. Another really good game this week. It feels like we all keep waiting for like Minnesota to turn into the team that a lot of us thought they would be coming into the season, when we just can't accept that they're really, really good. And they're coming off a bye. And Detroit right now is viewed upon as really good because they blew out Dallas. That Aiden Hutchinson injury, though, guys, is a huge deal. The Lions have 69 quarterback pressures this season. Hutchinson has accounted for 45 of those. You take him off the field against O'Connell, Darnold, and that offense, and the way that Minnesota's defense has played this year, I like the Vikings at home.
Yep, I'm with you on the Vikes, I think. What a bunch of good games. Your Ravens and the Bucks, that's a great game. This might be the best collective week of the NFL. PJ, we appreciate it. Thank you, as always, for all your insight there, and we'll do it again next week.
Anytime, guys. Talk to you next week.
That's the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. That's it for hour number one. When we come back, we will get into the second hour and kick it off with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. What does he think about this long trip to Morgantown? He's made a bunch of them. Is this a trouble spot for the Cats? We'll get that next on Sports Daily.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.